of little children, women who are sleeping under an open shed without a concrete roof over their head tonight are coming to you live from the India-Pakistan border. This is a special episode of The Buck Stops Here that is broadcasting live tonight from a migrant camp, a makeshift migrant camp, right at the India-Pakistan border. Behind me, women and children who have left their homes in their border villages, which are right on that border with Pakistan, after the last few days have seen an escalation in tension, with Pakistan clearly retaliating to India's surgical strikes across the line of control, with trying to shatter and disrupt that ceasefire that has held both at the border and the line of control since 2003. Good evening to our viewers. My name is Barkha Dutt, and I'm coming to you tonight with special ground reports that actually travel along the international border. First, let me tell you a little bit about where I'm sitting tonight. We're in an area called Khor. We're in a migrant camp, a makeshift camp. This after the government, as a precautionary measure, asked all civilians who live in border villages to be evacuated. Most of the people behind me, and you can see these are heartbreaking images of women and children, do not want to leave their home. But these are people who have lived in the shadow of the gun and have seen repeated ceasefire violations, with shells landing virtually at their kitchen door before 2003, when that ceasefire first set in. Now, of course, they're worried. Will Pakistani retaliation disturb their peace, and for how long? What will happen to their crops, which are in the field waiting for harvesting? All of this on a day when five ceasefire violations have taken place in the last 24 hours, some of them in fact targeting civilians, and seeing the return of mortar shells to a border which once saw small arms weapon, and then in phases not even that. Now let's tell you a little bit about our journey. We are today looking at all of the different ways in which Pakistan continues to create trouble in Jammu and Kashmir. We saw, of course, last night in Baramulla in North Kashmir, on the other side of the Banihal, we saw a terrorist target, a border security force camp. We saw a soldier being martyred in that. It seemed to be a hit and run operation, with those terrorists hurling grenades and then making their way out. And then, of course, here in the Jammu area, Akhnoor at the international border has seen ceasefire violations last night, as has Poonch. In fact, the area of Poonch has seen the maximum number of ceasefire violations in the last 24 hours, and these have gone beyond actually targeting security installations. They have targeted civilians as well, and we are seeing reports of civilians injured in those ceasefire violations. Now, in this special series that we're calling The Borderline, we're actually mapping the India-Pakistan border. Buck Stops Here will be live this week from different locations in the India-Pakistan border to give you a sense of the new challenges that our security forces are facing. And in this exclusive special ground report, we take you right till the final frontier. Literally, we traveled, the Buck Stops Here team traveled right till the fence, the electrified fence that separates India from Pakistan, as well as something you don't see too often, to the River Chenab outpost. Yes, river and waters too can be a route of infiltration for terrorists wanting to come in, for terrorists that are being pushed in by Pakistan. So at the Chenab River that separates India from Pakistan, at the electrified fence, we went as far as we could go to give you this report of how the BSF is guarding our frontiers. The tall wild elephant grass is the first sign of the approaching international border, 60 kilometers from the city of Jammu. The grass, or what we know better as Sarkanda, can grow even as tall as 15 feet. And the border security force is making sure that it is burnt regularly to give them a clear line of vision of Pakistan. They cannot allow the grass to provide an easy camouflage for infiltrating terrorists. As we drive through the interior border villages of the Akhnoor belt, famous for its basmati rice, the crops are ready for harvest. Women are out working in the fields, and old men gather under the shade of the tree to escape the scorching sun and play a hand of cards. First sight, things appear peaceful and quiet. But the locked homes, the shops with their shutters down in the middle of a working day, and the somewhat lifeless villages betray the truth of an uneasy calm. Families here tell us they return home only in the daytime to look after their cattle and their fields. But as the sun sets, they too must leave.
गांव तो खाली है, लोग तो मगे चले गए हैं. अभी थोड़े जो लेडीज वगैरह बच्चे वगैरह सारे माइग्रेंट जो कैंप जो यहां लगे हैं स्कूल वगैरह तो सारे वहीं पे हैं. तो अभी जो होता है पशुओं के मवेशियों के थोड़ा उनको घास घूस को डालने के लिए जो वापस अभी आते हैं थोड़े लोग शाम को दोबारा सब चले जाते हैं.
Ever since India announced that the army had undertaken surgical strikes to stop terrorists being pushed across the line of control by Pakistan, the 740 kilometers LOC and 200 kilometer international boundary in Jammu and Kashmir has been on the highest levels of alert. Pakistan's retaliation to the strikes has clearly been to test the 13-year-old ceasefire here at the border, with multiple violations in the last few days. These images were evidence of that today, when heavy firing and mortar shells returned to a border where even small arms weapons had more or less fallen silent. People here have seen conflict for decades, including all the major India-Pakistan wars. Many young men from here joined the security forces, which is why the remote rural landscape is dotted with small military memorials like this one. The fear among all the villages we meet is that Pakistan may shatter the ceasefire in retaliation for India's cross-border strikes.
2000 में जो हुआ था, बड़ा फायर हुआ था, तो उसमें हमारे गांव में, हमारे घरों को भी आए, हमारी किचन में पूरा पांच गोलियां जो थी वो अंदर आई, किचन में. तो बाहर तो सभी दीवारें वगैरह थी. तो जब से हमने देखा है तो ये हमारा इतना छोटा जनी होता ही रहता है.
We drive to the furthest motorable point where the road then gives way to stones and mud and a kacha track. From here, it's a short walk to an observation post on top of a small hill, looking down at the fence that marks the Indian border. That we are literally standing at the last outpost becomes evident when we see this Pakistan observation post just ahead of us, just yards away from the Indian tricolour fluttering against a clear blue sky. Soldiers of the Border Security Force are literally standing eyeball to eyeball here with the Pakistani Rangers. This electrified fence separating India from Pakistan is quite literally the final frontier. In fact, beyond this fence, if the camera turns just a little bit, you will see 20 yards in the distance where those green bushes are, is where Pakistan is. It is here at the international border, as well as all along the line of control, that the highest vigil is now being maintained. It is here, ever since India announced surgical strikes against terrorists who were trying to infiltrate, that we have seen a number of ceasefire violations in the last few days by Pakistan. At the fence, it's a 24-hour vigil. The jawans that we meet, some from Assam, others from Kerala, representing literally the breadth of India from the east to the south, tell us that since India's cross-border raids, an otherwise placid Pakistan has brought in many more soldiers to the front in a clear troops escalation.
सर आप यहाँ पे बताइए कि आप लोगों की बहुत हाई अलर्ट है जब से पठानकोट उरी टेरर अटैक्स हुए उसके बाद सर्जिकल स्ट्राइक्स हुई तो कुछ हमें सेंस दीजिए यहाँ पर किस तरह का माहौल है.
हमारा इधर ऑफ अलर्ट चल रहा है. हमारा इधर पाकिस्तान पहले ड्यूटी नहीं कर रहा था, अभी रात टाइम इस लोगों पाकिस्तान का बहुत हरकत चल रहा है. हम इसलिए हमारा मेंटली भी है और हम डबल ड्यूटी अलर्ट कर रहे हैं, बहुत अलर्ट है.
जब आप कहते हैं पाकिस्तान का ड्यूटी पहले नहीं था, मतलब पहले उस साइड से कोई एक्टिविटी नहीं थी?
नहीं,
और आजकल हो रही है?
हाँ, आजकल बहुत हो रहा है, रात टाइम भी हरकत इधर बहुत चल रहा है.
For these men, the priority is to stop Pakistani-backed infiltrators from entering Indian territory. This year alone, 17 infiltrations have been foiled and 31 terrorists killed.
This video, captured by the BSF using a thermal imager, shows a group of infiltrators being accompanied by the Pakistani Rangers on the other side of the border. There are areas along the international border that do not even have the protection of the fence, like this stretch of the River Chenab, where BSF boats are patrolling the waters around the clock, right under the eye of the Pakistani observation post, which is just 300 meters away on the other side of the river. In the day, you see boats like this one, and at night, the BSF sends out ambush parties under the cover of darkness. As we sail across the Chenab River with the BSF, we get a first-hand sense of how much more vulnerable a water route like this one could be for infiltration. We are at a forward observation post manned by the Border Security Force right along the Chenab River. Pakistan, in fact, is just 300 meters from where we are. It isn't just land infiltrating routes that are being guarded against. The highest vigil is being maintained all along unconventional routes like this water entry route that infiltrating terrorists may use. In fact, the assessment is that after the surgical strikes, it is these sort of atypical infiltration routes that need to be focused on and looked out for much more sharply. Unlike the land routes, which have physical barriers and are always protected by sensors and mines, it's virtually impossible to put up barriers on a flowing river. Patrolling is the only answer.
आप इस इलाके की अहमियत हमें समझा सकते हैं? ये नदी है. Usually infiltration जो होती है वो लैंड रूट से होती है, लेकिन अब यहाँ पर भी काफी हाई अलर्ट है. इस एरिया की सिग्निफिकेंस थोड़ा बताइए.
इसके आगे बिल्कुल फेंस नहीं है, ओपन में है और साथ में रिवर चनाब है, तो इसमें ज्यादा खतरा है क्रॉसिंग का.
उरी पठानकोट की बात तो एक तरह से हाई अलर्ट रहा है, और सर्जिकल स्ट्राइक्स जो हमने की है उसके बाद उनकी मूवमेंट ज्यादा बढ़ गई.
उनकी मूवमेंट ज्यादा बढ़ गई है,
ज्यादा हो गई है चार पांच दिनों में, पिछले चार पांच दिनों में
बहुत बहुत ज्यादा उनकी मूवमेंट मूवमेंट ज्यादा, और उनके शायद गांव भी खाली हो रखे हैं.
आपको ऐसा लगता है?
हाँ, क्योंकि मूवमेंट उनका खेती किसानों का कम मूवमेंट है अभी.
From water to land, no matter where at the borderline, for the BSF soldiers, this is a battle of nerves. And in these tense times, with an aggressive neighbor, even more so. It's left to an old villager to finally strike a philosophical note.
Mankind must fight against the war. Otherwise, war will end the mankind.
At the international border between India and Pakistan, with Ruby Dhingra, Manoj Thakur, Manu Nair and Zafar Iqbal, Barkha Dutt for NDTV.
So as we said, we have been seeing a very, very clear pattern here. Pakistan clearly making attempts to respond to what has happened with India's strikes by returning tension to the line of control and the international border, where we have seen five ceasefire violations in the last 24 hours, the worst of them in the Poonch sector, where in fact there have been reports of mortar firing returning to the line of control. Let's go across to my colleague Zafar Iqbal. Zafar, what are the details you can give us? It's after a long time that we've seen this kind of sort of scale of ceasefire violations in 24 hours at the LC and the border.
Yes, there have been a series of ceasefire violations. There was a ceasefire violation last night in the Akhnoor sector at the international border. And today, there were a series of ceasefire violations in Poonch, in Shahpur, in Kirni, and in the Sabzia areas. Pakistan not just using small arms, but also heavy weaponry, including 120 mm mortars, and targeting not just the army in the post, but also the border villages, which are very close to the line of control. Five people have been injured. So clearly we've been seeing an escalation, not just at the international border and the line of control. And it's always these people who are living very close to the border who have to bear the brunt of escalation between India and Pakistan. So we've been seeing ceasefire violations in Kashmir Valley, to the north of Pir Panjal, and also now to the south of Pir Panjal. So the escalation that started from the Uri attack is continuing, and the latest is this spate of ceasefire violations in Poonch.
Thanks, Zafar. Now, as we broadcast live tonight from a makeshift migrant camp right at the India-Pakistan border, and you have seen women and children behind me who have been evacuated for safety as a precautionary measure. We also saw in that ground report when we traveled right till the fence and the Chenab River that separates India from Pakistan that many families go and work their fields in the day, and then at night, which is when they expect the firing to take place here, they come to camps like this one. But meanwhile, far away from what's happening here on the ground, you are seeing political parties and the politics around this issue now raise itself. We've seen Anand Sharma, P. Chidambaram and other senior leaders of the Congress today going on record to say that in the past two, armies were free to take retaliatory measures every time there was a provocation from Pakistan. But at that time, governments did not try and take political credit for it, thereby suggesting that that is what the BJP is doing. Arvind Kejriwal, the Delhi Chief Minister, also released a video message wherein he said that it made his blood boil to see international media actually questioning India on the authenticity of the strikes, and he urged Mr. Modi to actually silence those voices who were looking to discredit the Indian army. All parties have been very, very careful to underline that they, in no means are they questioning the forces, are they questioning the strikes that have taken place, but they clearly seem to be questioning the BJP for trying to take political credit. A narrative that is very, very far removed. If you look at these pictures behind me, before I actually introduce our guest tonight, I just want to leave our viewers with these images tonight. These are little children and women, and these are the people who actually live literally in mortal fear that that 2003 ceasefire could be disturbed by Pakistan as an immediate retaliation for India's strikes. And that does take us to our discussion tonight. Is that what we will see happening, and how do we read now the political noise growing around these strikes? Even though every party is saying we stand with the forces, isn't this noise, and isn't this noise from the opposition, in fact, bad for India's image on the world stage? Isn't it best avoided? Let's introduce our panel. Sudhanshu Trivedi of the BJP is with us, Abhishek Singhvi of the Congress is with us, General Hasnain, who has of course been Army Commander in the Kashmir Valley, is with us. Colonel Ajay Shukla, who's been with the Indian Army, now an author and commentator, is with us. And we're also joined by Vivek Kaju, who is of course a senior diplomat. Sudhanshu Trivedi, let me start with you. The fact of the matter is, I am at the border, and all that people care about really at a migrant camp is when they will be able to go back home and live their normal lives. We've seen 5 ceasefire violations in 24 hours. We've seen a terror attack in Baramulla last night. We've seen multiple ceasefire violations, as we said, 5 in 24 hours. And then on the other hand, you have actually this political noise from the Congress, from other parties. How does the BJP see this?
Actually, attack or some sort of attempt from outside is not a new thing. But the difference is, previously, Pakistan was doing in aggression. Now, they are doing in frustration. They are in a strategic frustration, and they are in virtual diplomatic isolation. Because other than China, none of the country is even slightly taking the side of Pakistan. They are one of the trusted ally. US is consistently rebuking them, snubbing them. Even the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arab, they are considered closest to Pakistan, are not taking side on them. Even in the recently concluded matter of SAARC, it was cancelled. And the two major Muslim countries of the SAARC region, Afghanistan and Bangladesh, has taken open stand against Pakistan. So they are diplomatically isolated. And after the surgical strike, they are frustrated. And whatever they are doing in this context. As far as the politics is concerned, I would like to say that this is a matter of national concern, national security, whatever action has been taken by Indian Army, and it has been announced also by the Indian Army. So we should keep our national interest intact and keep away the political flavor from this.
Sudhanshu Trivedi, I agree with you, but because I'm at the border and people are really not interested in the politics around this. They're interested in the security of their daily lives. But you do have the Congress going on record to say that armies were free to retaliate earlier too, but the Congress, the UPA, never took political credit for it. There's a clear insinuation there that that's what the BJP is doing.
In this context, I would just like to say the taking of action, it is the prerogative of army, but owning anything is the work of the political leadership. Political leadership doesn't take action. Action is always taken by our security forces. It is the political leadership to decide, to give a signal, and then own it. So if they are saying that they have done anything of this sort, but they have not owned it, this shows their political weakness, because in my opinion, after 1971, for the first time, India has crossed LOC, which officially acknowledged by both Indian Army and the government of India. So if they are saying, then it is up to them to decide. Because I would again like to remind just one more thing. In 1995, Narasimha Rao government was trying to perform the nuclear test, but they were unable to own and sustain it under the US pressure. And when our government came, we have done it, 1998. So it is the political leadership's stand, and it is the quality of the political leadership, which in a way, Congress, in their own statements, have declined.
Let me take that to Abhishek Singhvi. Abhishek Singhvi, you know, Pakistan's political parties today came out to put a unanimous statement. And it is that kind of unanimity that people would expect from their political parties today. And I say this as somebody who's traveling along the border. The biggest fear here is that Pakistan's retaliation, its immediate theater of tension, is going to be here at the border or at the line of control, as we've seen in these ceasefire violations. Now, at this time, for the Congress to make this point that we've done this too, but we never took credit, we never sought publicity, for other parties to basically say that, look, the international media is raising questions and why isn't the government answering them back? Isn't there a discordant note that parties are sounding at a time when we should stand united?
Barkha, you've asked an important question, and give me a couple of minutes at least. First of all, let me tell you that these events have been now going on for about 2 to 3 weeks, if you go a little pre-Uri onwards. And I do not think that since Uri till today, the Congress could have been more unconditional, unstinted, absolutely unambiguous about the support given, first and foremost, of course, to the army, of which we are proud, but also to the political executive of the country. Number two, to suggest that we do not ask for self-soul searching and plugging of the leaks, the security faults which must have been involved in places like Uri and elsewhere, would be an abdication of our duty, and that is what the government itself should be doing and is doing. So don't think that pointing out faults in our own security apparatus and to seek rectification is criticism. Thirdly, Barkha, I think we have to realize that we are not a monolithic, robo-like dictatorship or theocratic state like either China or Pakistan. Thank God we have different opinions. We forget that. We are a proud democracy, a vibrant democracy. In a democracy, a certain measure of differences along with this remarkable solidarity is something to be proud of. In America, which is also a vibrant democracy, you have a far greater degree of disagreement on such issues as the war. But we must not forget to differentiate our country from Pakistan or indeed from every South Asian country, and thank God for that. We are not a monolithic, which is like you press a button and have a uniform reaction. Number four, just give me a minute more, half a minute more.
So,
I'm answering your point that you will have shades of opinion in a democracy which is different from a non-democratic state like Pakistan or China. But do not confuse those shades of democracy and shades of difference of opinion with any anti-national or anti-India thing. Now, what have we said? What today and yesterday has been said is merely clarifying a statement of fact. Where is the insinuation? The insinuation is being imagined either by others or by the press. The statement of fact, and I repeat it for your consideration, is one, that this is not something new. There have been many, many retaliatory strikes, and we are proud of the army. Two, there is a view that there are both advantages and disadvantages in having deniability, Barkha. There are advantages and disadvantages in not owning up. Not owning up may be a strategic political decision, and I am prepared to say that it may not be the right decision today. Today it may be right to own up. But to suggest that not owning up politically and retaining deniability means that Indian government, earlier government executives have been weak not to react, or that the army has not been sent in, is a fallacy, a fundamental fallacy. Indeed, in many ways, see, today we have escalated it to one point. It is for these, it's like a chess game, Barkha. You have to think out the next 40 moves. It is not necessary that in every other chess move which India makes, we will want to have the same ownership.
Okay.
Deniability is an important part of strategic international relations. So the only point I'm saying is, do not see it in that black and white thing.
Okay, now I can see Ambassador Kaju raising his hand, so I'll go to him. Yes, please go ahead, sir. Please go ahead.
I think what the country and the international community will notice is that the entire political class has been united in supporting the strategic strike. That is the first point. At no stage has any political party questioned the wisdom of the strategic strike. Second,
no one has.
Second, and this is important, what the strategic strike's ownership and the way it was couched by the government has done is to crack the Pakistani false doctrine which has been spread for over 2.5 decades that any crossing of the LC or the IB will set in motion an escalation process that may lead to nuclear war. Now that doctrine has had paralyzed in a sense our security forces and action, and that has been cracked. It hasn't been shattered in toto, but it has been cracked, and that is something that is to be welcomed.
Okay.
Because the country for far too long had accepted a paralysis. That is my view.
So to that extent, you're making the point that going public with it was almost an imperative at this point, because that was the only way to actually challenge that sort of nuclear blackmail, as Ram Madhav called it. General Hussain, and Ajit Shukla, let's bring you in. General Hussain, go first. Okay, General Hussain.
Yeah. Barkha, so far in the debate, I do not really see any difference of opinion between all the speakers. There's only a marginal, maybe, point of difference about the ownership of the surgical strikes. Let me say that I have lived through Kashmir for many years, and yes, the kind of responses that the army has given has happened in the past. Perhaps it was the strategic requirement of the times that the ownership was not taken at that time. But this time, I think we have now gone into the 27th year of this confrontation. And this year, particularly what was happening in the streets of Kashmir, followed up with the kind of attempts at Poonch, Tangdhar and Uri, were putting together a very, very dangerous situation where Pakistan and the deep state seemed to be getting away with everything. And it was necessary to be able to strike back and take full political ownership for that, to convey a message not only to Pakistan, but to the international community at large, that India would always be willing to protect its strategic interests.
Okay. Ajay Shukla, let me bring you in. Your column today talks about the international media being used by Pakistan. You have the Congress now saying, hey, we did this as well, but we never took political credit for it. I agree with Ambassador Kaju and General Hussain that nobody's undermining the military, nobody's undermining the strike or the wisdom of it or the need to send out a strong message to Pakistan. But why are we hearing these murmurs, and I would call them murmurs, of political bickering, or of the kind of press conference we've seen Anand Sharma hold today?
The issue is not political here, Barkha. The issue is strategic. As speakers before me have said, this is a very, very long way from being the first strike that was carried out cross-border. India has repeatedly tested this doctrine of escalation, and it has repeatedly established, though not in an acknowledged way, it has established that cross-border strikes can be carried out across the line of control, provided no ground is held over there and the status quo of the line of control is not changed. So we have carried out strikes before on numerous occasions, but not acknowledged them. What has been done this time, and here lies the blunder by the government, it has acknowledged the strike, but not placed adequate proof in front of the international community to convince them that the strikes were carried out. So you have this ridiculous situation where Pakistan is shipping in busloads of reporters across the line of control, reporters who would not recognize a combat zone from a sort of a country fair, and who say that no, there is no signs of a cross-border strike. Now India has to if it wants its message to go home and its message to be accepted by the international community, it has to place evidence before the international community. The only community that the government seems to be interested in placating is the domestic political community, which in any case is already inclined to accept the word of its army.
But Ajay, the basic argument you seem to be making is that the government should release footage or videos or photographs. But what is to stop Pakistan's PR narrative from again kicking in and questioning those photographs? Why should we let Pakistan set the narrative or the terms for how the Indian state should respond?
No, we shouldn't let Pakistan set the narrative. We have set the narrative by claiming the strikes. And therefore, we should continue the narrative by placing proof before the international community that the strikes took place. Now, in the India-Pakistan dialogue, we are used to you did it, no, I didn't do it, you did it, I know I didn't do it, and that goes nowhere. But the international community is a more discerning observer. If there is convincing proof, if there is proof that would satisfy any military observer, Pakistani denials are not going to convince them. But if Pakistan is allowed to set the agenda by shipping in reporters and we place nothing on the table to establish proof that we struck, it's not going to take a long guessing game to decide who would win in
Barkha,
this.
Barkha, may I just say a sentence?
So let me get reactions. First, Ambassador Kajo, then Sudhanshu Trivedi, and then Abhishek. Yes.
Look, I think I will not rule out the government at some stage putting forth evidence of the strike. But 2 points. One,
yes.
The discerning observers in the international community know the truth. And they have understood the message that India has conveyed, which is that we do not buy this escalation doctrine and we are putting that publicly out. Second, would it not be futile to get into a kind of a debate on whether this happened or not? We've done it. We've said we've done it. Those who need to know it. And those who need not, who may be doubters, they are doubters. There were, after all, many doubters about the quality of the nuclear test that we had carried out. But that has never robbed it of the significance of those tests in strategic terms, just as this surgical strike stands by itself in strategic terms to shatter, or not shatter, but to crack a doctrine.
Barkha, can I
let me bring in Sudhanshu Trivedi. Sudhanshu Trivedi, just 1 second. Sudhanshu ji, Rajnath Singh is on record saying, wait and watch. There's nothing to rule out that the government will not decide to put out evidence as and when it wants to. It may be part of a calibrated strategy. That's certainly the briefings that journalists were given on the first day. How do you see this demand now from some quarters? Colonel Ajay Shukla saying the only way to silence Pakistan's narrative is to actually put out this evidence, put it on the table.
Number one, the press conference was done by military, Army of Indian Army, not by the government of India. So whosoever is having doubt is definitely is trying to have a doubt over the army. Second thing, if you want to have proof, Barkha, in your story you were telling that the soldiers on the border were saying that after that surgical strike, there is a lot of movement on the border on the side of Pakistan. So is it not just an evidence?
Yes.
Second thing,
yes.
There is a categorical media report that Hafiz Saeed yesterday has performed a namaz-e-zanaja for those who were killed in the surgical strike by India. So is Hafiz Saeed is doing on its own?
Yes.
Third thing, is proof is going to suffice any purpose? For 26/11 we have given lot of proofs. What has been done? On so many attacks we have provided, in Pathankot we have provided so many proofs. Despite assurances from Prime Minister and NSA of Pakistan, still it has not worked. So entering into any dialogue or in the any sort of debate about the proof, I don't think it is going to serve any purpose. And if you want that, somebody wants to create doubt, as Dr. Abhishek Manu Singhvi was saying that we should accept the different shades of opinion. So the shades of opinion were to that extent for 26/11, their government wants Hafiz Saeed from Pakistan, and on 26/11, Mr. Digvijay Singh goes in Mumbai and they inaugurates a book that 26/11 is an RSS conspiracy. So if this type of shades of opinion you want to have, I don't think that these things are going to serve any national interest. On shades of opinion, I can say number of things on the part of Congress party that they say that they executed Afzal Guru.
एंड ऑन द अदर हैंड दे से दैट अफजल के शर्मिंदा हैं, तेरे कातिल जिंदा हैं. वन से दे से एग्जीक्यूटेड याकूब मेनन एंड देन दे से दे पॉलिटिकली दे से दैट इट वाज़ द जुडिशियल किलिंग ऑफ याकूब. सो दिस टाइप ऑफ डिबेट्स आर फ्यूटाइल. वी हैव परफॉर्मड एक्शन. वी शुड फर्मली स्टैंड विद द गवर्नमेंट एंड आई डू नॉट कंसिडर दिस टाइप ऑफ लॉजिक्स. दे आर नथिंग बट इन अ वे डायरेक्टली और इनडायरेक्टली वी पेव द वे फॉर दोज फोर्सेज हु वॉन्ट टू put some pressure or who won't want to discredit or they want to weaken the India's stand.
Let me bring in Abhishek. Abhishek and then General Hasnain. Abhishek, I think that's a fair point. The fact is that when you talk about evidence, you're essentially questioning the army, not the BJP. And I will get Ajay to, because he's the one who raised it, to come in on that. But Abhishek, even when the Congress does press conferences and says, we didn't take credit for it, we did this earlier, it sounds politically insecure. This situation is not about the Congress and whether you did it before.
Number one, I have and the Congress has never said that we need evidence. Mr. Kejriwal may have said so. Somebody on the panel may have said so. Number two, I understand the point Mr. Shukla is making, which is not an invalid point, that we don't want to be having the worst of both the worlds as far as the government of India is concerned. A, we lose deniability by taking ownership. And on the other hand, having taken ownership, the world doesn't believe us. But having understood Mr. Shukla's point, I don't agree with him. And I tend to agree with the fact that if we get into a competitive game to prove it, we are actually being on the defensive. So let Pakistan keep on trying to prove it didn't happen. The psychologically and the optics of it will change. We should maintain a dignified silence and keep on repeating our statement. And that will set down as a non-issue according to me. The real issue is, that's the third point, and I'll be very quick, Barkha. I didn't want to make this into a political blame game kind of a debate. But you've just seen an example of it from the BJP. Let me tell you, the BJP has basically an intolerant philosophy which doesn't understand the meaning of democracy. Let me tell you that if I were to start saying that what happened exactly on 26-11,
but the Congress
let me finish.
Called a press conference.
Let me finish,
today. Why did the Congress call a press conference?
Let me finish, Barkha. Barkha, you haven't allowed me to address the issue. I was on the third issue about the Congress BJP. That's what I started off. Do you remember, Barkha, what happened in the middle of 26-11 by the then Chief Minister of Gujarat, who wanted to become Prime Minister of India? And do you remember that Chief Minister of Gujarat's statements in the middle of 26-11? How he taunted Indian government, how he taunted the Prime Minister, then Prime Minister, they're on record. Mr. Modi's statements himself in person, in courts undenied today in 26-11, were the most subversive and anti-national comments if you were to apply that test. However, I believe that if the Congress stands up and says, we are at one, and we don't agree with Mr. Digvijay Singh's statement, I think democracy demands that Mr. Digvijay Singh may have a right to make a statement. But the country is not agreeing with him and the party to which he belongs will not be agreeing with him. So what is the problem with that democracy? The problem with that democracy is that the BJP doesn't understand the idea of democracy. They don't understand the meaning of shades of opinion. Nobody responsible or senior in the Congress has spoken the way Mr. Modi spoke in the middle of 26-11. If I had the time, I could quote you the statements. And he's done it many times with each Kashmir attack. But that's the point.
Okay.
That anybody, whether it's Mr. X or Y, who says it's our view. We have on the contrary controverted him and stood steadfast.
Okay.
And I think that's democracy. You cannot pull down somebody for having said something.
But
that's
you
his
still
view.
Have questions.
It's not the national view.
Barkha,
let us stick to the strategic matters.
Yes. I agree. I agree because I do, but the fact is, Ambassador Kaju, the Congress called a press conference today and I'm just wondering what the point of it was. Now, I'll allow...
And made a statement of
politicians will be politicians.
We've done it earlier.
Okay.
That's the statement
General
of fact.
General Hasnain first, then Ajay, then... Okay, General Hasnain. General Hasnain. Nobody is talking about the fact that the ceasefire here is being made a casualty while politicians are politicking.
Barkha, let me put this in a slightly different perspective. I agree that there are politicians on the panel, there are others, there are diplomats on the panel. Let me speak as a military professional. And I wish to compliment the army, the establishment at the moment, that after a long time, I'm finding that besides the military domain, at last we are looking at the information domain. And that in today's world perhaps is even more important than the operational military domain. This whole issue that you're debating at the moment is under the whole, under the umbrella of information management. Now you need not, if it, I consider that there is a strategy behind the entire thing, and I'm sure that in due course that strategy will reveal itself. But having said that, under the circumstances today, there is no necessity of actually coming out with any evidence. The circumstantial evidence, and there are lawyers with us on the panel, the circumstantial evidence is more than sufficient for us to be able to project through our media, through our information management, that the surgical strikes have taken place. Let me explain that if you give me just 30 seconds more. The whole idea is that strikes within 2 to 2.5 kilometers by special forces in an area which is devoid of population, devoid of any other obstacles in that area, is very much possible. And in the military domain, this kind of a training is even given to infantry units to do. So Pakistan, whether it accepts it or not, everyone knows that in the military domain, there is the potential always of being able to carry out such strikes and do them successfully. Barka.
Right. And Ajay, I do have to say to you, and I'll take last comments from all of you then. Ajay, the point is that that Sudhanshu Trivedi is absolutely right. Multiple dossiers of evidence offered to Pakistan, evidence offered even to the Pakistani envoy, Abdul Basit. Every evidence is denied. And even when the evidence is sort of watertight, I mean, look at 2611, look at Hafiz Saeed, look at Zakiur Rehman Lakhvi. Why, again, I ask you, are you so fixated on what Pakistan is doing with the with media at the line of control? Why should it matter to us?
Okay, let me talk to you as a strategist. What exactly was intended to be achieved by a raid 2.5 kilometers into Pakistan that does not cause any significant casualties on the Pakistani troops or perhaps a few casualties on the militants? We don't really know, but let's assume that going forward. Is the belief that that is going to alter Pakistan's behavior, the Pakistan military's strategic calculations, their support to militancy and terrorism, which has been going on for years? Clearly not. Anybody who believes that a raid 2.5 kilometers into Pakistan is going to change this doesn't know the first word about strategy. It only becomes a pressure point on Pakistan when you can convince Pakistanis and the international community that the Indian military has struck back credibly at the Pakistanis across the line of control, and that the Pakistani army was unable to do anything about it. That's when it begins to bite the Pakistan army. And unless we can put that proof in the, on the table and convince the Pakistanis and the Pakistani military and the international community, you know, they may not admit that they are convinced, but a pressure starts building up internally on the Pakistan army. And that is the only pressure point we have against them. We can keep making raids 2.5 kilometers, even 3 kilometers or 5 kilometers into Pakistan. That's not going to change the behavior of the Pakistan army.
Let me just put a thought out that if the cross-border action was so innocuous, Ajay, as you're suggesting, why did Nawaz Sharif need to issue a political resolution on behalf of all parties? Why has he gone into a huddle? Why are we seeing the ceasefire being violated multiple times? This is not innocuous. Why are they taking busloads of journalists to the border at all? We are not seeing a normal response from Pakistan either. But I need to take last comment. There's one operative part to Ajay's question, Ambassador Karju, and then I want last comments from everybody. We saw a terror attack at Baramulla. We've seen these ceasefire violations. If the new normal is you push in terror, we cross the LOC, what do we do the next time and the next time and the next time when we do not want to escalate, but yet we want to send a strong message to Pakistan? Ambassador Karju, I'll start with you. Last comments, everybody.
Look, I don't think we need to react to acts of Pakistani terror every time by crossing the LC. Now, I need not know the first thing about strategy. I concede that to Ajay. But I do think that this raid has served the purpose of really giving a setback to the entire Pakistani attempt to impose, to put us in a straitjacket regarding the use of conventional forces across the LC. That is the premise of their entire effort for the last 2.5 decades, because India has superior conventional capacity. For the first time, we have claimed to the world openly that, look, we have done this. And the Pakistanis have obviously said no. Because if they concede this, apart from political and other ramifications, this doctrine that they hold on to as for dear life will start getting eroded. And then where do they stand when they can't even do nuclear blackmail, okay, which is the very basis, okay, for their sustaining their low intensity war against
Fair
us.
Point.
We must understand I concede I don't know the first thing about strategy.
All right, General Hasnain, 20 seconds, and then Abhishek and Sudhanshu can wrap it up.
Okay, Barkha, I would go along with Ambassador Vivek Kaju. I would endorse the opinion which he has expressed. But at the same time, I must draw the attention of the panel and your audience and your listeners that 1999, after Kargil, we witnessed a spate of so-called fidaeen actions in the valley. What you saw last night in Baramulla may just be the beginning of that. And this is something which I want to draw attention of the political leadership also. We cannot be seen to be weak on ground. Yeah. And unfortunately, there is too much pressure being put on the troops. In these kind of operations, you will find that there will be failings. Do not expect 100% success, because the enemy will get the better of you at some places or the other.
All right, Abhishek Singhvi, I again ask you, the purpose of the press conference today?
No, I think we are spending too much time on issues like trying to prove to the world that we took the incursion, or really reading insinuations and innuendo into a pure statement of fact, which as an opposition political party, we have a right to set the record straight, because sometimes the impression given is that this was a novel, huge innovation which was born for the first time with this government. Well, obviously, have you till now, prior to this press conference, heard officially from a political party that this has been par for the course many, many times, not once, but 10 times. So I think it's a fair point to make. But as far as the innuendo is concerned, no, there's no innuendo. I think finally, in half a minute, what is important, Barkha, is not to really quibble on this, but to decide on things like how to manage China, how to think of the 5th move, the 12th move, and the 28th move. Because we have to be at least 30 moves ahead, at least having thought out, the government should at least inside, if not to us, have a doctrine which tells you that for so much, we will do so much, for that much, we will do that much. I think that's more important.
I'm not sure anyone can spell that out, but Sudhanshu, very, very quick last word, I've got to close.
On the strategic aspect, I would like to say, if Pakistan wants to deny, let them be in strategic denial. So it paves the way for future actions also. We will perform the action and they will say they are in denial. And if the question is asked, what has changed? The perception is changed. It is the only conflict in the world in which the powerful country is being, always facing the wrath. And the less strong country is calling the shot. Now, for the first time, it is proved from Baluchistan to this strategic attack that the era of Indian soft state is over. And on the lighter note, I would like to add one more sentence, Barkha. Ki Pakistan ki halat wo hai, jo 1960 ki legendary Hindi movie thi, equally popular in India and Pakistan, Mughal Azam. Usme jab Anarkali qaid kar li jati, Salim kehta Anarkali qaid kar li gayi, main dekhta hi raha. To Akbar kehta hai, kya aur tum kar bhi kya sakte the? To aaj Pakistan denial ke alawa aur kar kya sakta hai? To hum apne drishti se har apne purpose mein safal hai.
All right, Sudhanshu ji, we will leave it there. Ajay, sorry, I ran out of time, but we'll continue our special focus on the India-Pakistan border in our series From the Ground, Mapping the India-Pakistan Border, the Borderline. We leave you tonight with these images of women and children at a makeshift migrant camp right at the international border between India and Pakistan. Here, I can tell you there is serious concern about the 2003 ceasefire and how Pakistan will try and disrupt that as retaliation for India's cross-border raids. 5 ceasefire violations already in 24 hours. We'll see you tomorrow night in our special series, The Borderline. Thank you for watching. From the entire team, goodbye and see you tomorrow night.